If you would, turn with me in your copy of God's Word to the book of Revelation tonight in chapter number 21. All the way near the end of the book of Revelation in chapter number 21. It is my intention to begin a study, the Lord willing, next Wednesday night through the book of Nehemiah. I need another week or so to prepare, but looking forward to that study, and ask that you would, if you would read the book, sit down and reread the book. There are a couple of long lists of names in the book, and I'm not saying you have to, but it wouldn't hurt to read through each of those names. But if you get more familiar with the book, it would help you as we study Nehemiah together. We study the life and the work, the ministry of this man of God. But right on the heels of an expository meeting and declaring the importance of expository preaching, I'm going to do just the opposite tonight. That's just, I got to be hard-headed. I don't know how else to say it. But no, really, I'm a firm believer in expositional preaching, expository preaching. This is a Wednesday night Bible study, and we do a lot of verse-by-verse through the books. But tonight I want to take you away from earth. Can I do that? Can I just take you in your minds off planet earth tonight and get you to start thinking about heaven for a little while?
Amen.
That's what I want to do tonight. I want you to remember that as a child of God, not everything is here and now. There is a life after this. I'll give you a second if you want to grab a songbook. Turn back to hymn number 471 if you want to. To the song that we just sang, there's a land that is fairer and fairer than day, and the song is the sweet by and by. Pull that songbook out, hymn 471, take a look at that, and we're going to learn a little tonight about the history of that song. But then in so doing, I want us to think about what that song's telling us and what it's teaching us. In your Bibles this evening, and I'm going to read. Don't quote me on this a little bit later, but right now it's my intention to not keep you long tonight. I may be lying as I'm standing right here, but it is my intention not to keep you that long this evening, but I do want to read. I want to read all of Revelation chapter 21 and then a few verses in chapter number 22. And that'll take just a few minutes, but if you're here tonight and you're saved and you've been born again, you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Your faith is in His death, burial, and resurrection, that He died for your sins. Then when you read with me these chapters, you can say, that's coming for me. Yeah, that time is just around the corner for me. When we read about these things, so often we look at them as a long way off. But brother, they are just in the sweet by and by.
Amen.
So, I'm going to read Revelation chapter number 21, dealing at the end of time. Revelation 21, verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself, isn't that beautiful? God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God, oh so sweet, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, what a list that is, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. That's about 1,500 square miles. 1,500 square miles is the size of the holy city. It would just about cover, wouldn't totally, but it from east to west would cover a little over 2/3 of the continental United States. That's a pretty good sized city, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's going to be full of God's people. Oh, I'm ready to go. You ready to go?
Amen.
Verse 17, and he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. Foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Chapter 22, first few verses. And he showed unto me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. I really like the close there of verse number 6. These are the things which must shortly be done. It may not seem like it, but in the calendar of God and in the mind of God, all of these things that we have read about will surely come to pass, and they will shortly come to pass. It is just a matter of time. It seems to us so bound by time, so constricted by time, our lives being governed by time. Seems like these things are a long, long way off, but in the light of eternity, they are just a little ways away, just around the corner. It is, as the song says, in the sweet by and by. I don't know about you, and I know that I'm still relatively young compared to some of you folks. I don't mean to be in any way disrespectful, but I will say this, the older that I get, and I'm still fairly young, but the older that I get, the more I look forward to going to heaven.
Amen.
The more I find myself thinking about heaven, the more I want to say with the beloved John, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
You and I rob ourselves of a great amount of joy if we are not regularly and even daily thinking about the splendors of heaven. It should be on our thoughts. It should be on our heart. We should be thinking and considering about this place called heaven. And I say what I said at the beginning of this. If you're saved tonight, if you've been born again, you've been sealed by the Spirit of God, you are just as sure for heaven as if you were already there.
Amen.
Do you hear that? These things that we read about, this beautiful city, this glorious bride, that is just a matter of time. Do you understand? It's just a matter of time now till we're going to see that.
Amen.
It may seem like a long way off, but it is shortly to come to pass. That we're going to walk on those golden streets that are like transparent gold. We're going to see that glorious city, this huge New Jerusalem that the Lord Himself is going to prepare for us. This huge city that has 12 gates, and on each gate is the name of one of the 12 tribes. And there are 12 foundations, and each foundation is named after one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you just imagine that? These pearly gates, those things are going to be glorious. We're going to see those things. We read, and I don't even know what all of these different gems and these different precious stones are, but here's what the walls, the foundation of the wall in the city was garnished with all manner of precious stones. We're going to see all that. But I want to take you a little bit further than that. There's some loved ones there. Amen. There's some loved ones over there we're looking forward to seeing. Some I want to strangle and some I want to hug. That's just the truth before God. I don't know if you understand what I mean, but I love them and I'm sorry they're gone and left as quickly as they did. But there's some on the other side I want to see. And I'm going to see them. Amen. I'm going to see. I'm going to see some folks I have had the privilege of burying. I'm looking forward to seeing them again.
Amen.
My grandmother, who God rest her soul, never took a step the last two years of her life, as her body was riddled with arthritis and just could not walk. Rheumatoid arthritis had crippled her. But she told my daddy just a few days before she died, she said, "Soon, son, I'm going to be walking on golden streets."
Amen.
I'm looking forward to seeing her again.
Amen.
These Bible characters that we've studied, I say this tongue in cheek, I say this with a little bit of a flippant heart, but I don't know. I don't know. There's some things about the other side that we're just not sure of. I don't know how much recollection we're going to have of this life. I don't know how much recollection we want to have of this life, just to be honest with you. But when I think about meeting some of these men like Ezra and Moses and Joshua, I'm going to get up there and say, "Fellas, I hope I talked to people right. I hope I was accurate with what I said about your life." And I'm looking forward to seeing them. These great Bible characters we've studied after, Esther and Ruth and all these folks, Matthew, Mark. You go down the list. But let me take you a little bit further yet. And further yet is that we're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We shall behold Him. Our eyes will behold our Redeemer and not another.
Amen.
We're going to see Him. The glory and beauty of the majestic Lamb of God will be on display. Look right there, 22, chapter 22, verse 4. And they, that is those people, and they shall see his face. Face to face. Amen. With Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold him, amen. Jesus Christ who died for me. I'm excited about those sights of heaven and the sounds and the angels and the saints that have gone on before us. I'm excited about each of these things, but more than that and beyond that, I'm excited to see the Savior.
Amen.
I'm excited to see him and to know him. And brothers and sisters, I don't know how much I can declare the glory of this, to be in his presence without sin. To see Jesus Christ, to see the sinless Savior, and to be made like him, to see him as he is, and to be holy as he is holy, to be perfect without sin. In this glorious place called heaven, none of these things that we deal with now, sin and sorrow and sickness and suffering, all of these things are going to come to an end.
Amen.
I know that this life is full of difficulties and distress. I know it's full of trials and troubles, but there is coming a Sabbath for the people of God, a rest for the people of God.
Amen.
And I know our bodies get old and weak and worn out, and we spend more time than we would like at hospitals, nursing homes, and gravesides. But dear friends, there is coming a day for every child of God where that's going to come to an end.
Amen.
There'll be no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. These old things, these former things will be passed away, and behold, all things have become new in him. Won't be any more of this tripping and falling and busting your face and walking around with black eyes. Won't be any more of that. Won't be any more these debilitating sicknesses. My mind just started thinking about this pew right here and working its way back. And I said, I can't list all them things. We'll be here all night talking about what's wrong with everybody. There won't be no cancer in heaven, I can tell you
Amen.
That.
Amen.
Won't be any lupus there. Won't be any of these things there. It's all going to come to an end. And you and I need to think about that. Christ has loved us and redeemed us and has purchased us from this sin-cursed, sin-broken world. And has promised to go and prepare a place for us so wonderful, so unique, that there's nothing on this earth that can compare to it. And I just want you, dear child of God, I don't think we ought to spend every moment thinking about heaven, but I don't think we spend enough moments right now thinking about heaven. If you spend some time thinking about heaven, I tell you what it'll do is it'll make you live like you're headed towards heaven.
Amen.
When you start thinking about heaven and where you're going to be and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ and giving an account to him for the things that you've done in service to him, when you think and meditate on that, it'll change how you live. We put it way off. We are so bound, so restricted by the frailty of our mortal bodies, and by time, we look at this as if it is way away rather than just in our near future. If I have my prophecy right, and I could be wrong, but I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ could come at any time and usher
Amen.
Us up out of here.
Amen.
And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to leave this earth behind and be up in glory.
Amen.
Where the Lord is, to give an account for the things that we've done for him. And we are so earthbound sometimes that we don't think enough about heaven and what it means to be living eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever think about it like this? That we have the privilege right now, to earn eternal rewards that will be given to us in heaven. And as a matter of fact, let me say it like this. The only time we have to earn rewards is right now. This is it. But I want you to think about it like this, though. Rather than thinking I'm going to walk around in heaven with my stars on my chest and my crown on my head and I'm the envy of the holy city, everybody's looking at me, I want you to think, we have the privilege to live our lives in sacrificial service to the Lord Jesus Christ right now so that we can bestow upon Him the crowns that are given to us. We're not working for vain glory. We just want to try to serve the Lord Jesus Christ right now so that when He gives us something, we can just give it back to Him. So I wouldn't have it if it wasn't for you anyway. And that throughout the rest of eternity, do you even understand the frailty of the language I just used? The rest of eternity. How long is eternal? That's the frailty of our human minds. Throughout the rest, through the remainder of time, throughout all of eternity, what we do right now in service to Christ and to bring honor to Him will be an eternal crown. An eternal crown that can be offered to Him, perhaps even again and again. I don't know. We're so earthly minded, so earthbound, that we have the privilege right now to work. And I don't think God, and in particular here the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't think He'll be any more glorious whether we work or don't work, but I hope you desire to have the privilege to cast a little something at His feet.
Amen.
Worthy to bow down, as Brother Rob did here just the other night, to bow down and say, worthy Amen. Is the Lamb of God which Amen. Is slain from the foundation of the world. And if you're thinking about heaven, not only are you going to live like you're headed that way, but you're going to tell some others about it on the way too. Amen. I think if we got heaven on the brain, we'll also have eternity on our lips.
Amen.
We'll start thinking about this other side and what is coming. And we'll have a zeal and concern for others. And a delight to share with them and say to them, here's the glory of heaven and here's the only way to get there. All of heaven is going to be about the Lamb, and the only way to get to heaven is through the Lamb. That's it.
Amen.
How much time do you and I spend thinking on heaven, motivating us, considering that glorious place that is ours? There's a land that is fairer than day. And by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there.
Amen.
In the sweet by and by. It's sweet, isn't it? That word by and by, you realize it just means sometime in the future.
Amen.
There is a coming and occasion is simply what the word means. Soon this will transpire in the sweet future, in the sweet days ahead, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Heaven's our home. We just passing through here. We just like Abraham on our way somewhere. Well, this is not our home. The old Indians used to speak about the long home. Heaven's our long home. We're just living in tents here, passing through. We're headed home. And there on the other side, we're going to meet in the sweet by and by. I want you to just think about this song. And I was very interested in this. And sometimes as I read these things, it blesses me. And if you could remember any of this, when the next time you sing it, I think it may bring a little joy to your heart if you have your hymn. In the sweet by and by, or there's a land that is fairer day, about 150 years ago, in 1868, in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. Anybody ever been to Elkhorn, Wisconsin? I bet it's cold in Elkhorn, Wisconsin. There was a man, and if you look at the top left hand of your books, on that page, a man by the name of Sanford Bennett, hymn number 471. There's a man named Sanford Bennett who worked at a drugstore. They called it an apothecary at the time. He worked at a drugstore. And he had a good friend, and his name was Joseph or J.P. Webster. That's the guy on the other side of the page. These two men were friends. They were in the songwriting business. They had written a number of hymns, but none of them were ever very popular. As a matter of fact, these two men, Bennett and Webster, had written about 100 songs, and you wouldn't know any of them at all. But Bennett was working one day in the drugstore, and his friend Joseph or J.P. Webster came in. And Bennett would write all the words to the song, and his friend Joe, we'll just call him Joe, would write the music or the chorus to the songs that they were, their hymns that they would write. And as Bennett was working in his drugstore, then his friend came in, and his friend, the reason I was telling you about which is Joseph here. Joe, he was given over to depression. He's like many of us, I think. He would just had a melancholy spirit. It didn't take a whole lot to get him down, and he walked into the drugstore, walked back in behind the counter, and sat down there next to the stove, and didn't even turn towards his friend, just turned his back towards him. And when he sat down, Sanford Bennett there, who was busy filling prescriptions, turned to him and he said, "What's the matter now?" Anybody ever asked you that? What's the matter? What's wrong now? And his friend, Joseph, replied to him and said, "It is no matter. It will be all right by and by."
Amen.
And immediately that stuck into Sanford's mind, and he stopped what he was doing and sat down and began to write. And he wrote the first couple of verses to this song, and his pencil gave out, so he got a quill and ink and finished writing out the third verse to this song. During this time period, a couple of customers came in and were standing there waiting and saw them and saw him writing, and they actually joined. They were friends, saying customers, and they joined behind the counter there with Sanford and Joseph. When he got done writing, Sanford, who worked there at the drugstore, took the paper on which he had written this song, and he handed it to him, and he said, "Here's your prescription, Joe." And he said, "I hope it works." And he opened up the paper and read it, and there were the lyrics to this song, "In the Sweet By and By." His demeanor immediately changed, and he began to sit down and write the music, the chorus, the music to the song. And while they were sitting there, he sat there and composed all the music to that song. He told one of the other men that had walked in, he said, "Hand me my fiddle or a violin." You know what the difference between a fiddle and a violin is? Saturday night and Sunday morning. That's the difference between a fiddle and a violin. But anyway, he said, "Hand me my fiddle or hand me my violin." And he began to play the music. And now there were four of them, and one of the men said, "We make a good quartet." And so they began to sing that song with the music right there, the four of them. And another man walked in. A man by the name of R.R. Crosby walked in, and he said, "Gentlemen, I've never heard that song before, but it is immortal." This song that you and I sing on a regular basis, "On the Sweet By and By," was written in less than 30 minutes by a man sitting in a drugstore at work. And was written just as an encouragement to his friend who come in despondent that day. 148 years later, we're still singing that song. I don't know that this man was right, that it was indeed immortal, but I can tell you this, it's been sung the world over by many saints who are looking forward to that sweet by and by.
Amen.
Each of the songs that we sing have a certain amount of history behind them. Some are different than others, but I found this very interesting. When you look at the song, and I'm just going to read through some of the lyrics for you, how can you read that and not start thinking about heaven? Too often when we sing, our lips are on the song and our hearts are miles away. Our voices are going through the words, but our hearts are far from God. When you are singing about a land that is fairer than day, and by faith you can see it afar, can you see it? Can you see that land? Do you know that land's there by faith? Do you know you're going to lay eyes on it? For the Father who waits over the way has gone to prepare us a dwelling place to be forever with God. You and I should just meditate simply on those words. We often present heaven as the better alternative to hell, which certainly it is. But heaven is not just a fire escape from hell. What will make heaven the glory that it will be the fact that we will be there with the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we will be made like unto them, and the only way we'll be able to be in their presence is to be made like unto Him. That old catechism rings true. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And that's what heaven is going to be about, glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. I love those streets of gold, and I love the saints that have gone on. But it's going to be, heaven is going to be about being there where the Father is, and where the Son is, and where the Spirit is. Brother Gordon, I want you to know something. And then the second verse of this song, it says, "We shall sing on that beautiful shore."
Amen.
And I'll be able to sing then, brother. And I won't hear no criticism from you about it either. We shall sing on that beautiful shore. Do you ever just stop to think what it's going to be like to be with a countless number of people all singing in beautiful harmony to the glory of God? I tell you, one of the great things about conferences, and I mentioned this to you some time back, but it's worthy of telling again. When I was at the conference outside of Atlanta last year and heard this lady hit across that cello, started playing "Holy, Holy, Holy," and 700 men stood up and sang that, it ran chills all over me.
Amen.
I mean, it just run chills, and just that's 700 people. Heaven's going to have a whole lot more than that. And thank God there'll be some women that'll help us men out in the singing. But we're going to sing on that beautiful shore. We've got a song to sing, and we're going to sing it and sing it well on that beautiful shore. The melodious songs of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more, not a sigh, because of the blessing of rest. In verse 3, to our bountiful Father above, we will offer the tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love.
Amen.
And the blessings that hallow our days. Amen. In the sweet, by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. I'm looking forward to it. I look forward to the times that we meet here. But more than that, let us look forward to the times when we'll meet there. And it's just around the corner. Amen. It's just ahead. And He said unto me, "These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent His angel to show unto His servants the things which must shortly be done."